I'm Peter Coward, and you are listening to the Science Lives podcast. My guest today is Shayla Clark, a genetic counselor at a clinic specializing in high-risk pregnancy. Initially planning to go to medical school, Shayla changed direction late in her undergraduate program after learning about genetic counseling. However, it took several years before she was accepted into a master's program in human genetics and genetic counseling, during which time she earned a master's of public health degree, held a variety of different full-time and part-time jobs, and served as an AmeriCorps member. We'll talk about all these experiences and, of course, find out about what her job is like. Shayla, welcome to the Science Lives podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Peter. I'm really excited to be here.
As I mentioned in the intro, you work as a genetic counselor. Can you begin by telling us about your job?
Yeah, so I'm a prenatal genetic counselor, so I specialize in preconception and prenatal genetic counseling. And what that means is specifically for me, since I work at a high-risk clinic, I see women whose pregnancies are affected by obesity, high blood pressure, gestational diabetes, things like that. And they see me specifically if they have a high-risk prenatal genetic test or if they have a genetic condition running in their family or they might possibly have ones themselves. And so they'll see me. I will do some education around testing options. I'll assess their family history and talk them through what I'm thinking and what will be helpful for them.
And what makes someone a good genetic counselor?
Someone who has a passion for education, for talking patients through difficult decisions, someone who's very empathetic and has the ability to kind of walk with a person through their journey of understanding, figuring out what's going on, and be able to deal with having tough conversations.
And then how much time do you spend with people?
Our appointments are slotted for an hour. On average, I usually spend 35 to 40 minutes with a patient, depending on how much information they need or how much time we spend talking, making decisions, educating on the family history. So it could vary.
And so they get a lot more time with you than with the primary physician that they're seeing, it sounds like.
Yeah. So I can spend up to an hour with my patients. And so I kind of let them, I give them an outline of what I would like to talk to them about. I ask them what questions they might have. And then, you know, I kind of let them lead the conversation. I can tell if they're anxious or they have a lot on their mind. I kind of give them space and time to talk and try not to rush them through since I do have a good bit of time. Whereas when the doctors see them, they probably spend about 5-10 minutes with them.
What's the typical structure of an appointment with a patient?
Okay, so once the patient comes into my office, we sit down and then I first start by asking them if they know why they're there. A lot of times patients get referred to me and they have no idea why. So I usually start by, can you tell me a little bit about what you know about the visit today? Usually they say something like, oh, I'm not sure. My doctor just said I was referred or I had this test that was high risk. And they said you would explain it to me. So then I kind of go through like, yeah, that's the information I have. So what I'm kind of thinking we'll do today is talk about the genetic test that you have. I'll kind of explain what it tested for, what the result means and where we go from there. And then I'll take a family history. And then after this appointment, you'll have your ultrasound. So that's kind of what the introduction part is like. And so I'll start by explaining, depending why they're there, explaining the genetic test that they had, if that's what they were referred for. And I have a visual aid notebook that I go through and I show them pictures of the chromosomes, the DNA, what exactly it was testing for. I'll go through the different genetic abnormalities that can happen during pregnancy. And I explain those. I give them time and space to ask questions if they have any. And then we'll go through what's best for them, or if it's the couple or the patient herself, I'll ask her how she feels, if this is what she would do, or this is my recommendation. And then she'll let me know if she wants to do the test. And so then I will go through and ask how the pregnancy is going, if there's any issues with that, take a family history, discuss whether I see anything else in the family that needs genetic testing. And then we kind of wrap up the appointment from there. So it's very education heavy in the beginning, and then we kind of go through and have a discussion based on what I told them, what their understanding of it is, and what they would like to do.
And what's it like for you emotionally dealing with a lot of patients who are in very difficult circumstances?
For me, it can be difficult at times. I think as I'm growing in myself as a person and as a genetic counselor, I'm able to compartmentalize the things that I see at work. But there have been some difficult weeks sometimes where I've had a lot of patients who have had lethal diagnosis in their pregnancies, and it's difficult. And I do spend a lot of time talking to them, and, you know, they share their feelings with me about how they had a lot of hope for the pregnancy and then this happened, and how they're feeling about it, or what they're having to tell their children or their partners or family members and things like that. And that can get pretty heavy, but I don't enjoy that happening to them, but I do enjoy being a person that can be there for them and walk with them through the journey.
And what else do you like about your job?
I just love my patients. They inspire me so much. Their strength and their resilience. And pregnancy is such an exciting time. It's an anxious time, but it's also really exciting. So I really enjoy just really talking with my patients, spending time with them, getting to know them a little bit, and just being there for them. So that's my favorite part of the job. My other favorite part is being able to talk about genetics all day, every day. I love science. I love genetics. It's so interesting, and I'm constantly learning because there's always some new genetic condition that my patient might have or their family member might have. So it's constantly learning on the job and doing research and finding such interesting things. So I definitely don't get bored. It definitely doesn't get monotonous. It's really interesting to me.
And what are the requirements to become a genetic counselor?
So in order to become a genetic counselor, you have to graduate from a master's of science or something like that in genetic counseling. So once you apply to programs, you go through the genetic counseling program, you get training in advanced genetics and molecular genetics science counseling skills. We learn a lot of psychosocial counseling skills, a lot of risk assessment and developing those skills, and just really learning how to talk to patients at different levels and with different needs.
And so do people come in with both a biology background and also with a psychology background?
Most of the time people come in with a biology background. And then I'd also say there's a lot of people who are psychology majors who enter into these programs. But really, as long as you have the prerequisites, it really doesn't matter what you majored in. If you decided later in your life you wanted to switch tracks and become a genetic counselor, it doesn't matter what you majored in as long as you have the prerequisite.
So let's talk about your educational background then. I think you studied biology in high school, is that correct? And then focus on biology in college also?
Yeah, so I, whenever I had electives in high school, I did, take science ones. Like I took sports medicine, I took anatomy, because I always knew my whole life that I was going to be a doctor. When anybody asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up or anything like that, I always said a doctor. I always went to science camps over the summer. And so that's always how I, structured my life. And so then I entered into undergrad as a pre-med biology major. And that kind of shifted a little bit. I started rethinking that path once I took organic chemistry. And I think we all know as science majors that that's kind of the weed out class. If you're planning on going to medical school, it either makes or breaks your decision to go sometimes. And I really struggled there. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to go to medical school anymore. But I was afraid to admit that because my whole life I was planning on going to medical school. So there was a time when I was volunteering at a children's hospital, and I came across a business card for a genetic counselor. And I was like, what is this? I've never heard of that before. So I went home and I Googled it. And it was like love at first sight. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I can do instead of going to medical school. And it's so much better for me. So that's kind of what started my whole journey.
And so it didn't feel too terrible to give up on that dream of becoming a doctor because you found this other thing? Is that?
Yeah, no, it was easy. It was kind of like everything clicked. I felt like when I was reading about what genetic counselors do, it was just a really good fit for my personality because I'm very warm and caring. I like to spend time getting to know people, being empathetic, all of that. And not saying that doctors can't do that, because they definitely can. But It was more so like I could focus on science, but also use like my interest in psychology and diving deep into people's emotions and feelings. And I would have the time and the space to do that. So that's what really appealed to me about genetic counseling. And then I had taken genetics in undergrad at that time as well. And I really, really liked genetics. So I thought it was a perfect fit to combine my love for genetics, my love for medicine, and then also my love for people and like being there and diving into the human psyche, all of those things. It was like the perfect combination of that.
And so after that, then you applied for programs and master's programs. Tell us about that.
So my first step, once I found out about genetic counseling, is I Googled how do you become a genetic counselor? And I saw that you needed to go to graduate school, specifically a program for genetic counseling. And I looked at the requirements and I saw that you needed some type of genetic counselor exposure. So I was in Atlanta at the time and I saw that Emory University had an internship for someone to work alongside a genetic counselor. So I ended up applying for that and I got it. And so I did intern for about a year and a half at a metabolic clinic alongside a genetic counselor. And so then once I saw her working and I was like, okay, this is definitely what I want to do. So I started doing the things I needed to do to apply to graduate programs. So I took the GRE. I made sure that I had some volunteer experiences that were advocacy related. And then I had my internship at the metabolic clinic that was helpful.
And so how did that then proceed after that?
So after that, I started applying to genetic counseling programs. And in hindsight, I wasn't ready. It was a little bit rush of a process. So I think during my junior year of college, I discovered genetic counseling late in my junior year. So started my senior year, I was doing the internship. I was also studying for the GRE. And then I ended up taking the GRE in November. My score wasn't very good. So I retook it again in December. It was just a little bit better, but I was running out of time to apply because a lot of deadlines were in December and January. So I just went ahead and I applied with those current GRE scores. And that year I didn't get any interviews. I think I applied to 4 programs and I didn't get any interviews. But I did apply to a dual program that University of Pittsburgh had. It was a program where you could get your master's in genetic counseling and your master's in public health at the same time. So since I applied to that program, I wasn't accepted into the genetic counseling program, but I was accepted into the master's of public health program. And so when I didn't get any interviews, I didn't have a job lined up when I graduated. So I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and go to graduate school for public health. And at the time, I'll be honest, I didn't really know what public health was. But when I got there, I loved public health because it was, you know, working on bettering the health of mass amount of people. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot of skills that I can apply to my current position as a genetic counselor. So it was all worth it and it wasn't in vain.
And so what was it like signing up for a 2-year program that was going to put things, I mean, I think a lot of people are really in a big hurry to get to where their goal is. And your goal at this point was being a genetic counselor. And this was going to, you know, add probably 2 years to that. Was that a difficult decision for you?
It wasn't a difficult decision, I think, because what terrified me more was graduating and being unemployed and not having anything to do. And so I was like, well, at least I didn't get into the genetic counseling program, but I can still go to graduate school. I can still pursue a master's degree and I can always try again. So I was really excited about starting a new chapter of life and furthering my education. And when I did go to the public health program, everything that I read about and I learned about in orientation, I was like, okay, this is still a good fit for me. This would still be a good career choice for me. So at that time, I was really young. I was 22. I still felt like I had a lot of time to do everything I needed to do. So I didn't mind the setback.
And so what happened after that?
So after that, I was going through the master's program. After the first year, I applied to University of Pittsburgh's genetic counseling program again, since I was already there. So I applied again, I interviewed, and then I was on the wait list. And then I didn't get in. And that was frustrating to me because I was there at the school. I was doing really well in my graduate coursework. I knew I had classes with all the genetic counseling students. I knew all of the faculty. So I really didn't expect not to get in. And maybe I was naive, maybe I was too hopeful, but I thought I had a good chance. And when I didn't come off the wait list, that was really discouraging to me.
So what did you do then?
So then I graduated with my master's in public health. I moved back home to Atlanta and I started looking for jobs related to public health and putting in a lot of applications. And then simultaneously, I was also applying to genetic counseling programs again. And I told myself, I'm either going to get a job in public health or I'm going to get into a genetic counseling program. So I was simultaneously doing those things. And it was a simultaneous rejection time and time again, because I was applying to public health jobs, being told that I didn't have enough experience, like my education was great, but I didn't have enough experience. So I wasn't being offered any positions. And then I wasn't offered any interviews for programs. I had one interview and I didn't get in. So it was just me going back and forth about, do I pursue public health and I'm not getting any jobs, or do I keep pursuing genetic counseling and I'm not getting into a program? And this went on for about 3 years. Each year I applied to genetic counseling programs. Each year I was constantly applying to public health jobs. And in the meantime, I was working part-time multiple jobs. I was working for a healthcare organization that did health screenings for state and public employees. I was a substitute teacher. I also worked retail and clothing. So I was doing a lot of different things. And then I saw this program through AmeriCorps called Project Health Access. And I was public health based. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can get experience in public health. And if anyone's not familiar with AmeriCorps, it's kind of like Teach for America in the way where it's a public service organization. So you basically work for free 40 hours a week. They give you a living stipend, but it's not much, about $400 biweekly. But you work full time at a health care organization. And so I became an AmeriCorps member, and I was a healthcare educator at a daycare center for children of parents who are underinsured or uninsured. And so I did healthcare workshops for the parents about different health topics affecting their children, like oral health, good sleeping habits, the importance of having a dentist and a primary healthcare provider, things like that. And so it was really rewarding. I loved the parents that I worked with. I loved working with underserved populations. It was right up my alley for public health. So that was a really great experience, but I wasn't making any money. And so during this time, I was working full time as an AmeriCorps member. And then after work every day, I was a pharmacy tech at a pharmacy. And so I was just constantly working so hard and having all of these jobs and then still at the same time applying to genetic counseling programs. It was a really rough 3-year period for sure.
How did you cope with that? Who did you rely on to kind of get you through that? I would imagine that was a pretty stressful time for you.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I probably was an emotional wreck and a nightmare to be around, but thankfully I have the most supportive family and friends who are always there for me to listen to me cry and give me encouragement. And even though in the back of their minds, I know that my friends and my family were like, maybe you should try to do something else because this isn't working. But they always encouraged me. And they're like, if this is what you really want to do, we will support you. We'll be there for you. Always gave me tons of advice and things to try. I really feel like that's what brought me through the tough times, is I had really great friends and family. And so I had a lot of support.
And how did you maintain your conviction? I mean, was it just that you were so sure that this was the right thing for you that you weren't going to give up trying to get it? Because I can imagine a lot of people really kind of thrown in the towel.
Yeah, I think every year I applied and every year I didn't get in, I told myself, I'm not applying anymore. This is exhausting. I can't do it anymore. But I think that I have some form of insanity because I kept trying. And one thing that made me keep going is that I just refused to let somebody tell me that I couldn't do something, because I knew that I was qualified. I knew that if I was given the chance, I would do well in the program. I knew that I would be an amazing genetic counselor. I just had to somehow prove that to the admissions committees. And so it what kind of kept me going is I just was stubborn. I'm like, no one can tell me that I can't do something. You don't know me. You know, you see my application, you talk to me for 15 minutes. You don't know everything about me. You don't know my work ethic, none of that. So I just used that feeling of rejection to like fuel my fire to keep trying. And another thing that really kept me going is that when I was first applying to genetic counseling programs, I had this initial feeling of maybe I don't belong. Because when I was looking through the websites and the bios of the students, all I saw were white women. I didn't see anyone that looked like me. And being a Black woman, I felt like I would have stood out so much in the program. And so I felt like, will I fit in? Do I fit the mold? Am I like those other students? And then I was like, no, they need me. They don't have anyone who looks like me in their program. So now I started over time feeling like the genetic counseling field needed someone like me. They needed some representation. They needed some color. And that was another thing that fueled my fire. So it was multiple things that kept me going.
Do you think that your race had anything to do with your not getting in for those 4 years?
I don't know. I've thought about it a lot over time. I remember the first time I applied, I thought it would be easier because I was Black. Because, you know, maybe they could have filled a quota or something. You know, no one wants to be that person that fills the quota, but it's a thing sometimes, right? But then, you know, that wasn't working in my favor. So then I was like, maybe there's some type of bias on the admission committee mind, because when you are applying for a program and they're looking for students, you want to fit the program and the program wants you to fit them. And so then maybe I was like, maybe I just don't fit the mold of what they're looking for. But at the end of the day, overall, I don't think that my race played a factor.
And so then what happened after the AmeriCorps then?
So after AmeriCorps, I did that for a year, and then I continued being a pharmacy tech for about another year. And so at this point, I think I mentioned I was 22 when I was 21 years old when I first applied to genetic counseling programs. At this point, I'm now 26, so a lot of time has gone by, and I had been on the wait list at a program for the fourth time, and the program director there, I could tell that she really felt for me. Like, I could really tell that her heart went out to me, and she felt horrible that I didn't get in that round, and I could tell that she really believed in me. And so we had a conversation, and she told me that I should really consider applying to genetic counseling assistant positions. And she thinks that that would be a difference maker for me. And I had never heard of those positions before. So I took her advice. I Googled genetic counseling assistant, and I applied to every single genetic counseling assistant position across the entire country, because I was like, whatever it takes so that I can get into a program, I will do. And so I think I applied to 6 different genetic counseling assistant positions, and I ended up getting one that was in Salt Lake City, Utah. And it's so funny, because when I had my interview for that position, the genetic counselor asked me if I'd ever been to Utah before, or what do I know about Utah? And I think I said, oh, the Grand Canyon is there. The Grand Canyon's definitely not in Utah. And I couldn't even point to Utah on the map. But I ended up getting the position, I accepted it, and I moved my whole life 3 weeks later to Salt Lake City, Utah. And it was one of the best decisions I've made in my entire life.
Was that a difficult decision for you to make, or was that pretty obvious that that's where you had to go and what you wanted to do?
It was a difficult decision, because I also got a genetic counseling assistant position in Baltimore, Maryland. And I have family in Maryland. One of my best friends lives in Maryland. So that would have been an easy move for me. And I know more about Maryland. It's not as far away from Atlanta as Salt Lake City was. But the position in Salt Lake City was much better. I thought it would be a better career move. And so I went back and forth to what's better for my social life and my personal life, or what's better for my career. And I vacillated on that for about a week. And then I chose the position in Salt Lake City. And I'm glad that I did, because it was a great career move. And the genetic counselors that I worked with there mentored me, they encouraged me, they uplifted me. And I made some of the best friends that I have in my entire life while I lived in Utah. So just overall, it was great for both my personal and professional life, even though I didn't know that before I accepted it.
And then that served as a pretty good stepping stone, it sounds like, into getting into the master's program at Stanford University. Is that right?
Yes, because I think that my self-confidence needed a complete overhaul. After facing so many years of rejection and being told, I basically felt like I was being told that I wasn't smart enough to be a genetic counselor, because the reason cited for me not getting into programs time and time again were my undergrad GPA and my GRE scores. And I was doing everything in my power to overcome that. I was taking prep courses. I kept taking that expensive test over and over again. And I mean, I couldn't do anything about my undergrad GPA, but I was taking extra classes to supplement the GRE. I had a whole master's degree where I had a really good GPA. I felt like I was doing everything, but I was still being told that I wasn't enough. So I just wasn't feeling confident. You know, it's like I knew that I could do the work and that I could get it, that I could do well in a program. But on the outside, I was just like broken and discouraged. And so the time that I spent being a genetic counseling assistant in Salt Lake City was just what I needed in order to get my confidence up, because the genetic counselors I worked for were constantly like encouraging me, telling me I was doing a good job, telling me I was such a great asset to the team. I felt like I was wanted and I was needed, and it was a game changer for me. And they gave me great advice. They taught me a lot of things. They gave me and my other genetic counseling assistant coworker, they gave us a lot of autonomy. And so to do things, and they relied on us for a lot. And so I think I just needed to feel like I mattered, basically.
And so that was reflected in your application?
Yeah, because I was a GCA at the Huntsman Cancer Institute. And my boss told me, she was like, you know, Shayla, I don't think that you're doing a good job selling yourself. She's like, you keep leading with your shortcomings. You keep leading with the fact that your GPA is not competitive and the fact that your GRE scores aren't competitive. You're not leading with how great you are. You have to tell them, like, who cares about all of this stuff? Like, this is why your program needs me. And it seems like a simple concept, but I was completely missing that, because I kept writing in my personal statements about like how I knew that, you know, this wasn't good and this wasn't good, but I wasn't telling them enough of the great things about myself. And so once I knew how to sell myself better, how to market myself better, I really think that showed through in my application materials. And then it helped that I had so many genetic counselors who were vouching for me in my letter of recommendations, which I didn't have that previously. So that was something else that was helpful for my applications.
And so you finally made it to school. So you went to Stanford University to get your master's. And then mm-hmm. what was that process like? What is it like to go to school to get to become a genetic counselor?
Genetic counseling programs are very, very rigorous, very time consuming. They're very challenging, but also very rewarding. And so after the journey to get there, I was just happy to be there. And so it just felt really good. I learned a lot. Being at Stanford, you're in Silicon Valley on the cutting edge of all of the genetic testing technology. Everything's very innovative and very non-traditional. And I really liked that I had all of these really non-traditional training opportunities.
What type of certification is needed to be a genetic counselor?
So once you graduate from a genetic counseling program, you're automatically eligible to sit for the board certification exam. And the reason certification is important in genetic counseling is because it's a demonstration that you have met the standards necessary to provide competent genetic counseling. So once you graduate, depending on your position, not every genetic counseling position requires this, but most all of them do. Within your first year of becoming a genetic counselor, you do need to become board certified. And so it's an exam that you take either in August or in February. And if you pass the exam, then you're a board certified genetic counselor.
There's also licensure for genetic counselors. Can you tell us about mm-hmm. that?
So about half of the states in the U.S. do have licensure for genetic counselors, and the other half are currently working on getting that. And in states where licensure is required for genetic counselors, a person cannot practice genetic counseling unless they have a genetic counseling degree and unless they're board certified. So that's just something that protects patients from being seen by providers who say they're genetic counselors, but they're really not. And so that's really where that's in place. And so right now in the field, we're really working for all states to have licensure, just so we have that protective stuff in place to make sure that patients are actually being seen by people who are trained to be genetic counselors.
Shayla, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.